Purple and Bold podcast one last time from Pensacola, Florida. Another bonus episode, this time discussing James Madison going to the dance. For the first time since 2013, it was an unbelievable night in Pensacola for the Dukes, for the men's team, and JMU fans partying and celebrating well into the night here all over town before a lot of us head back to Harrisonburg and wait for Selection Sunday, where when the Dukes will find out exactly where they're going for the NCAA tournament. Just unbelievable performance for the JMU men's team. The women's team also played in the championship game Monday here in Pensacola. We'll talk about that in a minute, but just completely locked in, focused performance from the men's team, which finishes now the regular season and the Sun Belt tournament 31-3. Just an unbelievable season that will continue for the James Madison Dukes in March. And it's a team that, you know, popular pick is going to be to make a run in the tournament. And I see it pointed out last night as, you know, a team like Sanford wins their conference tournament. A team like Longwood has won their conference tournament. And everybody basically makes it to the NCAA tournament coming off a good performance, and you get that reaction to a lot of teams. Oh, they look so good in their conference championship game. They could make a run. And it's pointed out that, you know, not all these teams are built for that. Even teams that are really good aren't necessarily built for knocking off a bigger, more physical, powerful team. JMU is the bigger, more physical team than a lot of teams, even Power 5 conferences. It's going to be very, very interesting to see what kind of matchup the Dukes get, what happens, because they legitimately will be a popular quote-unquote upset pick, even if they could potentially be the betting favorites in the first round as, you know, a double-digit type seed. We'll get into all their seeding stuff like that coming up. Let's quickly recap what happened to the women's team. They're, you know, another solid season for the JMU women's basketball team potentially comes to an end in overtime in the Sun Belt Championship game. The JMU women's loss to top-seeded Marshall simultaneously, thrilling, impressive, gut-wrenching, all at the same time. It was incredible and unique basketball game. James Madison losing overtime 95-92 to the Thundering Herds, the top seed in that tournament. James, the number three seed, but playing very well heading into the tournament and in the first two rounds, and were able to get to the championship game. They commit 39 turnovers in the championship game. Marshall has an unbelievably terrible shooting performance. You know, they take 99 shots. They miss almost 60. They JMU out-rebounded Marshall. Marshall really controlled the offensive glass because they were missing so many shots. It was, you know, Sean O'Regan called the box score gross, which is one way to describe it. And it was definitely a unique stat sheet that you don't really see, which, you know, leads to a game that goes to overtime. It leads to a game that is going down to the final seconds, both regulation and OT. Give a lot of credit to JMU center Anna Goodman, who came on so strong at the end of the season as Susha Kozlova was injured for six straight games to end the regular season. Kozlova comes back, has a good tournament. Anna Goodman also has a good tournament. She has 10 points yesterday in the loss, including making a pair of free throws in the final seconds of regulation that sent it to overtime. I just want to highlight, in a disappointing loss, I just want to highlight Goodman and the way she improved her free throw shooting late in the season. You don't see that happen in season that often. She was, let's just frankly put it, she was an awful free throw shooter the first few years of her career, and well into this season, not great form. The ball sometimes barely got higher than the rim. There was no real arc on her shot. Just not a good free throw shooter. I have to go back and look what her percentage was, what her percentage for the season was. But she was making free throws like at a high rate the last few weeks of the season. I think she made like 12 in a row over a stretch of games. At one point, she missed one in the championship game. But then she goes to the line with the season on the line and calmly sinks both. Like, whatever work she put in to get to the point where she's doing that, just think you just got to give her a ton of credit for that. Something I wanted to highlight outside of everything that led to the loss, disappointing end for those Dukes. Because for a while, it really did look like there was possibility of both teams going to the big dance. Jamie Women had a lead in overtime. They had a lead throughout much of the game. Stretched it out to 7 multiple times in regulation. And then almost suddenly fell behind 10 in the fourth quarter. Comes all the way back to tie it. Sends it to overtime and just can't quite get it done. Their season may or may not be over. They will wait for Selection Sunday as well. Not for an NCAA tournament bid. Their net is outside the top 100. They won't do that. There's a new tournament called the WBIT, which is basically a women's version of the NIT. It's run by the NCAA. The WNIT, which is, it's a little confusing, keeping all these tournaments straight. The WNIT is a tournament that has existed but was not associated with the men's NIT, which is also run by the NCAA. It is kind of been relegated to a third tier type tournament. Jamie won't accept a bid to WNIT, despite the fact that they've played in the WNIT many times over several years, had some great moments. You can think back a few years ago to a run to the semifinals, hosted pretty much all the way through, hosted teams like Virginia Tech and Kenny Brooks coming back to the Convo for the first time as a head coach. They hosted Northwestern that year before Northwestern went on a big run the following year with a lot of the same players, and that game went down to the wire. The WNIT has been very good to James Madison, but it's not the same tournament anymore. They won't entertain a bid to that or any other kind of third tier, frankly, tournaments. It's WBIT or bust. They may or may not be in position to do that. We'll have to wait and see. The men's team will also be eagerly anticipating Selection Sunday, but without much nerves because they know they're in. It's just a matter of what kind of seed they get, what kind of opponent and draw they get, what the bracket looks like, and where they get sent. That'll be a big question as we get going through the coming days. Personally, I'm hoping for a place like Charlotte, Pittsburgh, Brooklyn. Very, very manageable travel for myself and JMU fans. If they can get one of those places, there are some less ideal locations. Spokane is also a potential first round site. I think that would probably be the worst for a lot of us and for JMU fans. Spokane can't be the easiest place to get in the country, especially from Harrisonburg. We'll see where they end up. Regardless, we're about to embark on a huge couple weeks for this team, and they earned what they got in such a remarkable fashion. Talking to Dave Riggert, the play-by-play voice of the Dukes last night after the game, it was just so amazing the balance this team had between being absolutely locked in and still playing loose. That's a level of maturity and just a level of mental acumen that not many players ever achieve, let alone an entire team of players get to at the same time. It that was the unbelievable thing to me. We knew they were talented. We knew they were deep. They knew that this was a team that was very capable of playing well and winning a conference tournament. But to see them just repeatedly come in with unbelievable focus, but not let that get them tight, not let them keep them from playing loose, not let them, playing the way they are capable of playing and not overreacting to falling behind in a game or giving up a lead or any of the things that can happen throughout tournament basketball. I think that's just, you know, been the most remarkable and most impressive thing about this group. You know, Mark Byington pointed out the focus in the film session going in. They watched some film after winning in the semifinals. They beat a Texas State team in the semifinals that was also playing really, really good this season. And he said just every eye in the room was on the screen watching the film, and never strayed. And everybody was just completely locked in watching. And as he looked around at his team, he knew that the focus was there. To me, you know, that's not surprising given this group. But to have that and still go into a game where they wanted App State bad. They wanted another shot at the Mountaineers, the top seed in the tournament, the team that beat them twice, handed them two of their three losses this year. I think everybody in that locker room has lamented, especially losing at home to App State. You know, if they'd won one of those two games, the bubble talk going into this tournament probably wasn't even there. They probably were solidly into the NCAA tournament, regardless of what happened in the championship game. But they wanted that opportunity to avenge those losses. And they didn't get it because a really good Arkansas State team that's really been playing well down the stretch, four seed in the tournament, knock off the Mountaineers in the semifinals. So they kind of have to regroup in that regard to, you know, hey, this is our opponent. This is the team that we're going to play. This is a really good team. And take all those thoughts of App State out of their heads and refocus their thoughts and energy on that, which is not an easy thing to do either in those situations. And there just was never any wavering to any of that. And to see them play that well, that skilled basketball, I realize I'm repeating myself and rambling a little bit because it's just really unbelievable the level that they played at Monday night here in Pensacola. We can talk a little bit about, you know, the actual basketball of it. Get off to a fast start. You know, a little bit of a back and forth game. Start out with Darian Ford hit some shots early for Arkansas State to keep them in it for a little while. he finished with 10 points, but he had 8, or maybe he had 12 points, but he had 8 quickly. But Xavier Brown was matching him shot for shot early on, and then Xavier, the sophomore point guard, is the one who took it over in the first half. He finishes the first half with 21 points. He finishes the game with 10 rebounds to go with that. Just an unbelievable performance from one of the youngest guys on the roster. This is a veteran team. You know, for much of the year, graduate transfer Michael Green, who has been in these kinds of games, who has had a very, very good career, who early in the season was playing as well all around as any player in the Sun Belt before conference play began. And then he had his struggles. He loses a spot at starting lineup to Brown. And we just see the other thing, as even on top of how mentally prepared and focused this team can get, that depth and balance is the other thing. If you like metrics like KenPom.com that measure efficiency, if you go according to those, the best two players in the Sun Belt Conference are Terrence Edwards, who was the Conference Player of the Year, and TJ Bickerstaff, who was a second-team All-Pick for the Dukes. Based on that efficiency, they are the two best players in the Sun Belt. But the thing about this JMU team is it doesn't have to be them in a championship setting. They end up having okay games. Bickerstaff didn't score a ton in this tournament. He grabbed a lot of rebounds. He's a guy who in games like that, you know, the one thing teams want to do is really body up on him, make it tough on him, get physical with him. So, you know, he wasn't necessarily going to be the huge scoring threat in this one. He did grab a ton of rebounds. But that's the thing about JMU. You know, teams naturally maybe let up a little bit. Or, I don't know, let up, but relax. Or, you know, if the game plan is to really put a body on Bickerstaff, Bickerstaff goes out, Jalen Carey checks in, and he has a really good game. Freshman and sophomore carry JMU in the first half of that game. Edwards, he got most of his points in the second half as JMU really pushed the lead out. Noah Friedel, who had 28 in the semifinals, also gets in the double figures in the finals. He ends the tournament MVP. He's a guy who's had a remarkable career going back to a few seasons at South Dakota State and now at James Madison. All of these guys, any of those four, any of those three, Julian Wooden, throw him into the mix. Any of those four veteran, five veteran guys, if you talk about Michael Green, could have been the ones that you would expect to make those championship type plays. And then you add in that it's the youngest guys on the roster. It's, you know, your sixth, seventh, eighth best scorers carrying you to a championship. That's what makes it so, so tough to beat is your game plan might be, hey, we got to limit. We got to limit Edwards. We got to limit Bickerstaff. We got to, you know, not let Friedel beat us from the three-point line. Any of those things. And then you'll have a Julian Wooden absolutely go off, or you have, you know, 21 points and a half. Unbelievable from Xavier Brown, who, you know, people probably didn't realize what kind of a scoring threat he can be. But he was a very high-scoring guard in high school in AAU ball. This was in him all along. But he knew he was playing with a team where being a distributor, being a facilitator, being a really good defender, and he shut down Caleb Fields for Arkansas State. Let's not forget about that aspect of it. Just unbelievable performance from Xavier Brown. Like one that'll be a legendary thing for JMU fans for years to come. Just really, really impressive from Brown. Now, what will this team do going forward? We'll spend the rest of the week, you know, looking into what to expect and waiting for Selection Sunday. I'm about to hit the road. We'll keep this one short. This has been a bonus episode from the Daily News Record, listening to the Purple and Bold podcast, the last time from Pensacola. I think we'll have some more bonus episodes coming up as we hit the road for the NCAA tournament later this month. It's March Madness. It's Purple and Bold podcast. Couldn't be more excited to cover some more JMU basketball as the season rolls on. And until then, thank you so much for clicking and tuning in. We'll talk again soon.